Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Roundtable with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
What's going on, Avery?
Well, I got a ton of creeps that live in my apartment building, and I am not a fan of them. They don't like to take no for an answer. They don't accept I'm in a relationship. And I'm not about to be in my building during the party when I know that a bunch of those creeps are going to be either trying to find me or wait at the entrance. No, we're not doing that.
Issel hears this story. That's the sound
yeah,
he's making.
You gotta tell Issel.
You gotta tell Dan.
Oh my goodness,
Dan'll fly. He'll leave Denver. He'll show up. You imagine Big Dan, Big Is walking in there with you. Ain't no one saying a word to him.
Man, that was a throwback.
Man, I like the idea of Big Is as a bodyguard.
I like it too. I think he needs to be. I think he missed
his
calling
security.
There.
Yeah,
private security.
Remember, Andy crushed you for saying that after that. You know, Issel's not a bodyguard. He's not going to beat him.
No, he's not. But he's Dan Issel.
If he just walks in there, I feel like he has an intimidating presence.
Intimidating fact. He is like 6'10".
I know.
He's huge. He's a large human being.
And then Andy asked me about the creeps, and I'm like, yeah, they are creeps, but I think they mainly want like a dollar.
It's a round table here on ESPN 680 105.7. I'm James Strebel, Anna Trullo, James Black, producing the show today. This segment presented to you by Cox's Evergreen Liquors, 27 area locations, walk-in, drive-thru delivery, Cox's Evergreen Liquors, Louisville's go-to liquor store. Tomorrow's buy three, get one free cigar Wednesday. You get the wine, you have domestic craft beer, imported beer, bourbon, high caliber, top shelf bourbon, or bourbon you just want to mix some Coke or Dr. Pepper or whatever with, and more. Cox's and Evergreen Liquors is Louisville's go-to liquor store. There we go. Cox'sLouisville.com, 437-9670, UPS Jobs, text line. Okay, so we were kind of chatting back and forth over the weekend.
Yes.
And you were at Churchill Downs in a suite, like hanging out, having a good time. And then so you met a listener.
Right. Well, that's when we had gone down to the paddock, wherever they had the music going on at this point. And it was someone that B. Hall knew. And he said, hey, like, he listens to the show every day. I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. But and I don't know why sometimes I just get embarrassed, because I think, like, when you and I are in here, we're just talking, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you don't think sometimes that people are actually listening to what we're saying.
What do they know about
exactly,
me? Like, what have I said? But no, he was super, super nice. He said he listens and enjoys the show. And that just always makes my day. But I always just get, it's so different from when, you know, you're on TV and you know what you're saying, you write it out before, but it's just so fun when people, you know, come up to you and tell you that they listen and that they enjoy listening. But no, it was great. And hey, if you ever see, I guess, either one of us,
yeah, say hello.
Please say hello.
Yeah, it's
that makes me thrilled. But yeah, not like a great story, but it's just so fun to be
very
in public
cool.
And people tell you.
People notice and know who we are, and that's a lot of fun. And yeah, we always welcome listeners to say hello to us and all that stuff. So that's awesome. And whoever you are out there listening, appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you for listening every day.
Joey was his name, I want to say.
Joey,
maybe.
All right. Joey. Shout out Joey. If your name's not Joey, you know who you are.
You know who you are. And I used a code name.
All right. So 247 Sports, Anna.
Okay.
They're starting to release their season predictions. Okay. And so they have both Kentucky and Louisville in less than ideal spots for the season. All right. So the people over at 247 Sports, what do you think they have Louisville finishing for the season?
Ooh. Mm, like record-wise?
Record-wise, yes. What's their record?
7-5.
Wow, you nailed it.
God, I'm
yeah,
good.
You
That's
nailed it.
That's only one game up for what I had them last
yeah,
season.
Yeah, 7-5. They have been 7-5. Wins Austin Peay, Jacksonville State, SMU, at Virginia, at Boston College, at Stanford, and then Pittsburgh. Your losses are Georgia Tech. That's a weird one. At Notre Dame, Miami, at Clemson, and at Kentucky.
Yeah, boy.
So if you, I mean, that would be a major, major disappointment for Louisville fans, I think, if you go from year one under Jeff Brohm, going to the ACC championship game, to 7-5 and continuing to lose to Kentucky, which is what they hate more than anything.
Well, I think also people maybe just didn't want to accept last year that, like, I mean, think about what they were predicted to go last year. I mean, wasn't for a while Brett Murphy was saying, like,
Brett McMurphy was saying, oh, no, he was, him and Josh Pate.
Right,
were
like undefeated.
Very, very bullish.
Right.
On Louisville. And to an extent, they were, you know, they were proven right to an extent.
Right. And, yeah. And nothing's wrong with, like, the fact that, of course, you need to be excited that if you're in the ACC championship game. But I think also you have to, you know, share it with a little bit of a dose of reality. Like, they had a very easy schedule last year.
Sure.
I don't think this means that people are down on Jeff Brohm, the people making these rankings. It's just maybe putting it into more of a reality about how good they actually are. You know, you don't have the gift of that schedule and kind of a down year in the
right.
ACC, you know. Clemson wasn't great last year.
Sure.
So I think maybe that, I don't think it's anything to be angry about, but I know just what it'll be like here if they don't, you know,
oh, yeah.
improve
no, you,
upon
you,
what they did last year.
You,
but.
You know what the, I mean, you know what the rhetoric and what the talking folks around here are saying on the radio.
You just have to take that year one with perspective of why it looked so good and what you did. They did do really well, but also it wasn't a normal year. It wasn't a normal schedule.
And they lost three straight to end
right,
the season.
And I'm not trying to discount their accomplishments.
No,
I
not
be
at all.
Just as excited as anyone, but
sure.
I just think you do have to also realize.
I mean, Kentucky's never made a conference championship
right.
game. I mean, Louisville made it for, under Brohm's first year. That's something
right.
to be excited and happy about. But to your point about building on that,
right.
I mean, once you get a taste of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, that football drug.
It's almost worse to do it than be so successful your first year.
100%. I mean, I'm not saying that Jeff Brohm should have gone 8-4 on purpose. But it almost would have better served him if they had more of a record mm-hmm. like that. That way next year is like, okay, maybe go 9-3, maybe
yeah.
go 10-2. And then, but if you set the bar that high year one, I mean, if your following act is not only disappointment, but I mean, that's a major drop off
mm-hmm.
between what they were last year. Except they were 10-2. Yeah, they're 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
Their only losses were at, oh, I think it was at Pittsburgh
mm-hmm.
and then to Kentucky
yeah,
at Cardinal Stadium over there, Illinois Cardinal Stadium. Those are only two losses.
Which
if you
wild.
Add three more to that, and you know, instead of you go from two losses to five losses, again, I'm not saying that for sure is going to happen. I'm just telling mm-hmm. you what 247 is saying. And then, you know, like Athlon and Phil Still both. You know, they have Louisville like finishing sixth in the ACC.
Dang, man.
Which, again, is a drop. That's
from
a precipitous.
Going in the ACC championship
yes,
game.
I mean, they were number two in the ACC. That's a precipitous drop from that. It's just, it's going to be interesting if fans will take that into perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they were very protective of the schedule last year. They're like, yeah, it's easy, but blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, now you look at that schedule differently. Now that you're in this year. And again, we'll have to see how they could go 10-2 again. I don't know.
Right.
We'll see. If they finish a 10-2 season or they follow up a 10-2 season with another 10-2 season,
mm-hmm.
we know the conversation is Jeff Brohm's for real.
Mm-hmm.
He's building something special at Louisville. But if they drop off and they go 8-4 or 7-5 or, you know, God forbid 6-6,
mm-hmm.
I think that people will kind of be I'm interested to see how they treat that.
How they react. Yeah, I feel like people will be running around with their hair on fire a little bit. But it's all just so relative. I think fans, what they really want is just that you feel like you're upwardly mobile. You're on this ascension of where you want to be each year.
Right.
Or like at least you're maintaining if it's successful. But it's not always like that. I think you can even look at like the Kenny Payne stuff. It's like we just wanted to be better than what we were the year before. We just wanted some kind of improvement. So sometimes it's not even about the wins and losses. You just want to feel like you're trending in the right direction
sure.
to feel satisfied as a fan. But don't they even say that with like singers and stuff too? It's like if your first hit is a number one hit, it's almost like a curse.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like you're never going to get over. over that. Like, that's going to be your expectation. There's not going to be any small victories after that.
Well, there's always that thing where on, like, on the Grammys, whoever wins the best new artist is mm-hmm. you'll never hear from again. Yep. Because it's like this, they're the new artist. They win this major award. They had this big hit or a couple of hits or whatever. Uh-huh. And everything after that sucks and you never hear from again.
Because expectations are just through the roof.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, what's the follow-up going to mm-hmm. be? And then it's like, this isn't as good as the original. You almost want to, like, build the career as
totally.
It goes.
Yes, and just maybe a slow, steady thing. But, yeah, I just think it doesn't mean there's not certain building blocks being put in place if your record isn't as good as it was year one. I think that was just an anomaly of the strength of the...
It was a perfect storm of things.
Yes, and good. It ended up good, but it doesn't... I don't think it was a true reflection of where you... We are as a program year in and year out on a national scale.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Not Kentucky. Let's get the other one.
Oh, goody.
Oh, boy. All right. So, they did, again, Kentucky, like the ACC now, just ranks not based on division, but based upon the entire conference. So, 16th place is Vanderbilt. Final record projection 3-9 in the overall, 0-8 in the SEC.
Yikes.
Next, Mississippi State.
Ooh.
Final projection 4-8 overall, 1-7 in the SEC. So that's 15th. Coming in at 14th, Arkansas Razorbacks, 4-8. Yeah, 1-7
Petrino.
In the SEC. Yeah, Petrino, he'll take over that job. Next, finishing 13th in the SEC, the South Carolina Gamecocks taking a big step back, 5-7, 2-6 in the SEC.
Do you think this will be Shane Beamer's last year if they're not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they miss a bowl game, he's going to be done. And good riddance. I can't stand that dude. In Kentucky, next, 12th, 6-6 overall. 2-6 in the SEC.
And those wins?
They don't have the wins listed like they do. I would assume that the wins in the SEC, and let me refresh my brain on their schedule.
South Carolina.
And here it is. In the SEC, South Carolina. In Vanderbilt,
yeah, that's what I
would
guess.
Say, yeah, because they've got, it'll be South because they have Georgia ain't gonna happen, Ole Miss doubtful that'll happen. I don't understand. Okay, this is my next pet peeve with this, and everyone's acting like Florida's gonna be like decent for some reason. I don't know, Anna, because they had them ranked ahead of Kentucky. They have Florida, so Kentucky's 12th. They have Florida ranked 11th, which isn't good, but they have the 6-6 and 3-5 in the conference, so they're banking on them beating Kentucky.
I want an explanation for that.
I want one, too. I have no idea why. Like, he's not recruiting well.
No.
Like, the players are decommitting and transferring. Exodus. They all hate him. The fan base hates him. Everybody hates Billy Napier.
He couldn't even do the most basic level of getting the right guys on the field last season.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
it's that name brand thing.
I guess
like
so.
Like, with Miami, too.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Miami, like, ranked third in the ACC. I'm like, based on what recently?
Exactly.
I know they have a lot of talent coming in, but I think Mario Cristobal is a dunce.
Yep.
Then they have Auburn. After Florida, they have Auburn. Then they have Oklahoma there, which is like wild to me. But then they have Missouri, obviously falling up, and they're going to be eighth in the SEC. A&M, which I don't see why. They're not any good, but whatever. LSU, they have them picked a five-way tie for second. They held a tiebreaker over Ole Miss. They have Alabama. They have a five-way tie for a second. That's so lame.
Irritating.
I hate that. Let's rank them.
This is loser.
We can't hurt these big programs' feelings. We can't hurt Tennessee and Ole Miss's and Alabama's feelings. We have to have a five-way tie for a second. Shut up. Pick second place. They have Florida, or Georgia, by the way, going 10-2 and 6-2 in the SEC.
What? It doesn't say again.
It doesn't say.
Oh.
Guess who they have number one?
Texas?
Yep. Texas, they have an 11-1, 7-1 in the SEC.
That makes sense.
Oh, sorry, their projected losses. Oh, they do have it. Projected losses are A&M. They predicted to lose to A&M.
Georgia.
Georgia's projected to lose to Oklahoma and LSU. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Ole Miss. Let's see here. No, Georgia. They have projected losses to Texas and Ole Miss.
Okay.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I don't see.
They
the
might
Ole Miss,
lose to Texas, but they're not going to lose to Ole Miss.
Nah. No. I don't get that.
No,
do they
I don't
explain
either.
It? They just like pick blindly.
They just like pick, yeah. Now, here's Kentucky's projected losses. That's my fault. That's a bad job by me. All right, here, their projected losses in conference are the following. They don't have them. They only have the projected losses for the big teams.
This is the worst.
They didn't have projected losses for one of the crap teams.
Boo this list.
They started projected losses at 10th.
Sorry, little buddy.
So I thought, I really thought that they didn't have, like, they only, like, that I missed it. I was like, oh, how did I miss the projected losses?
No, they're like, get relevant. No, they we'll said, look at your schedule.
Basically,
more.
They said, get relevant. That's what they said.
Wait, did you see, speaking of LSU, did you see Les Miles is trying to sue?
He's trying to sue for his wins back.
Sorry, you only won 3 games at Kansas.
Like, yeah, it's like, dude, what? Go away. Just go away.
Bro,
how did he win a national title?
That's why Brian Kelly went there, because he's like, if Les Miles
and Orgeron can do it, by God, I can do it.
Until you have to read to be able to win one year.
I mean, good grief. Yeah, like Les Miles was so bad.
I don't
LSU,
get it.
I mean, Nick Saban won one there, of course, because he's Nick Saban.
Right.
But Ed Orgeron and Les Miles winning championships is egregious.
Especially,
I love Ed Orgeron.
Me too.
I love him.
But as more time goes on, that makes but that's because it was, who was it, Brady?
No, they had,
it was the offensive coordinator.
It was Joe Brady, and they had
Joe Burrow.
They had Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson. Like, they had
they
goons.
Were stacked.
They had absolute goons, yeah. That were just great. They had greatness.
I loved that team. I loved that
year. It was a fun team.
That
man.
Was the first Heisman I voted for, was Joe Burrow.
Well, Joe, he should have, obviously. But no, he had absolute studs.
God, that was so fun.
On that team.
Yeah.
I mean, I could coach that team to win. If I had Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and Justin Jefferson, I'm going to win the national title.
Have rings.
I'll be fine.
Ring
like,
on rings.
Joe Brady, you just do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Whoever my defensive coordinator is, you do your thing. I'm just going out here.
I'll be out at the sororities.
Look cool in my Bush Light shirt. That's all I'm going to do.
I'm in the pool.
Yeah. Is Joe Burrow healthy? He is. Okay. We're
okay,
fine.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's the game plan.
It's the game.
Let Joe do
yeah,
what he does.
That's the game plan. But no, I just found it interesting. How, I mean, 6-6 is not going to be good enough for Kentucky fans. It's not. And they've been 7-5 the previous 2 seasons.
And that was disappointing.
And that was disappointing. And then they ended both those seasons 7-6. They lost the bowl games. I mean,
but it's the same thing. It was like it's the no upward trajectory. You take
it's stale
one,
right now.
Half a step forward, and Mark Stoops shoves it down your throat like you're supposed to be so grateful for that. Like,
right.
Okay, let's just live in this mediocrity forever and be grateful that we're not losing to Vanderbilt by 40. No.
But we're still losing to Vanderbilt.
Just not by 40.
It's not by 40.
We're putting up points.
Yes, we're putting up points this time.
Have you really, God, that just irritates me so much. I just hate when it's put back. You should want to take yourself more seriously and hold yourself more accountable and understand the fans' frustration.
Sure.
Instead of being that pony app.
I said this with Max. I think that's the one time that, I mean, usually Mark Stoops is very contrite with the fans.
Always.
But that one thing is going to, I think it was a slip up. I think he was frustrated.
But that's the thing with him.
You shouldn't do that.
He gets frustrated so easily about people wanting more for the football team.
Right. No, I agree with that. Yeah, and he gets upset about it. And now, I mean, if you go 6-6, I mean, you got to look at this thing and say, okay, what's the future here?
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Is this sustainable? If we want to take the next step, and I'm not saying fire Mark Stoops. I'm not saying that at all. But it's one of those things, you go 7-5, 7-5, then 6-6. And the excuse is always, well, the schedule's so hard. Then what are we doing?
That you took the job. Like, then
yeah.
The schedule's always going to be the schedule.
And not even Mark Stoops saying that.
Yeah.
Members in Kentucky media,
mm-hmm.
some Kentucky fans, it's like they always want to lean on the schedule's so hard crutch. I'm like, look, I get it. I know. I've watched Kentucky football since 1994, okay? When it was Bill Curry, they sucked. Like, I know. It's
tough. Been out in these streets.
I've been out in these streets. I've been watching it. It's tough. I know. It's hard. It's difficult. But, you know, if you want to brag and you want to, and I say about Louisville fans and their NIL stuff all the time, like, we didn't want to pay $2 million for a player. Well, if you're going to brag about it, then, you know, do it.
Do it, yeah.
And I'm the same way. It's like, we've got Deion Walker coming back and Brock Vandergrift from Georgia and da-da-da-da-da. If we go out there and go 6-6, like, well, we had to go to Texas. Well, we had to go to Ole Miss. Well, we had to play Georgia week 2. Well, and I'm like, when are the wells going to stop?
Never.
When are the wells going to stop?
It's how people cope.
I understand it's how people cope, but, you know, we were like, oh, we went 10-3. Okay, this is what the standard is now, 10-3. They did it again, 10-3, 10-3, 10-3. This is what we want. We want no less than 8 wins every season. And then when we get less than 8 wins, it's kind of like, oh, well, you know. But even when the wins are, when the losses are like not Alabama and they're not Georgia and they're not
That's what's
LSU,
irritating.
It's when it's Vanderbilt and South Carolina and teams like that where you're kind of like, uh-huh.
I think that's what is so frustrating. It's not like, oftentimes it's not like you are getting beat by these you know, big bad people in the SEC and on your schedule. It's like the doofus, self-made mistakes against the South Carolina,
right,
against the Vanderbilt,
Missouri,
against
you lose to Eli Drinkwitz
when you're beating Ole Miss or you're about to beat Ole Miss and you can't get the job
and
done.
You flub it away.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
stuff
like that. That is so just a mainstay of Kentucky football that there's no excuse for that. It's like you don't know how to be great. It's put in your hands that you can be great, and you fumble the opportunity every time, almost every time.
So what's more likely to you? 5-7 or 8-4?
Oh God. This is Sophie's choice. I don't know.
I had to put you on the spot here.
I can't even get the words 5-7 to come out of my mouth. I can't say it.
So you'd say 8-4 is more likely than 5-7?
I cannot say 5-7. Like, I cannot.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't say 5-7. I can't.
We may have to.
I can't.
I mean, I hate to say it, but
it's so embarrassing.
Well, you look at the gimme games like South Carolina. They beat Kentucky 2 years in a row. I mean, that's the sad thing.
Like, I'm not embarrassing. Not be embarrassing.
There's been a couple seasons where they weren't embarrassing, and I give Stoops full credit for that. It was awesome. But, I mean, like I expect them to beat Florida now. I do.
Yeah.
I just do. I don't care what all the publications say about Florida. Mm-hmm. Kentucky's going to beat Florida. I expect them to beat them. I expect them to beat Vanderbilt, even though they've lost to them a few times in the Mark Stoops era. I expect them to beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And I'm talking just SEC now, SEC only. The rest of these games, I'm looking at and I'm like, I don't.
It could really go either way.
I don't know. Like, do I expect them to beat Ole Miss? No. Do I expect them to beat Auburn? Not really.
Uh-huh.
Do I expect them to beat Tennessee at Tennessee? Hell no. Do I expect them to beat Texas at Texas? No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't. I'm sorry. I mean, for me, I've got them winning 3 games in the SEC. I've got them beating South Carolina, beating Florida, and beating Vanderbilt. I've got them winning 3 games. So I think they're going to be 7-5.
Okay.
I think they're going to be 7-5 because they'll win the bum games. They'll beat Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be 7-5.
Okay.
And just do the same thing over and over again. The 7-5 is fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if they go 6-6, then the question, if they go 7-6, that means they lose to either Vanderbilt, South Carolina, or Florida.
If they go 6-6?
If they go 6-6, they're going to lose to one of those teams.
Yeah.
Or they lose to Louisville.
Which they always lose one of those teams. They always do. They always do something like that. Something wacky. I just think it's so crazy, too. Just I have no idea what to expect from this offense. No,
we don't. Because we can't keep an offensive coordinator for more than a season.
That is a glaring problem. And then when you get back to one guy who's made you relevant, or okay.
He was terrible.
He storms out
and goes to Tampa Bay.
First train out.
Yeah.
He's gone.
And what, like, he was good,
watching,
by the way,
his frustration grow through the past year.
No, it was.
That year feels like a fever dream. Like, did that even happen?
Texture. Streeble wants UK to go lose so bad. He wants to predict 4-8. No, I don't. I don't want them to lose. Refute anything I said. Refute any of it. Are you okay with the, well, it's so tough? I mean, are you okay with that? I just picked 7-5. I said they'll have 3 wins in the SEC. I'm predicting to beat Louisville. They'll go 7-5. They go less than that. It's not good. And again, refute anything I said. Because when we went 10-3 both those seasons, we were talking big bleep, and we didn't follow it up.
Big bleep.
Haven't followed it up. The last two seasons have not been good enough. Texter, if we go 5-7, you got to fire him. I don't think you got to fire him. But if you go 5-7, I think then that's a discussion. I think it's a discussion for next year. Are these people watching us? Oh, hello. Oh, hello, everybody. Yay.
Oh, my gosh. Hi. Fans. Hey. Oh, they're cute.
Oh, they're Louisville Ladybirds. Yay. We're not doing Louisville radio. I'm sorry, children.
Good job.
But that was nice. That was sweet. Mm-hmm. Texter, it's like putting 10 guys on the field against Florida. Yeah, exactly. Kentucky can win. Pony Up wasn't wrong, just wrong timing. I agree with that. I think that's fair.
I agree with that too, actually.
Because he's usually been very good with the fans and not blaming the fans. Texture also says Kentucky can win 8 games in football without beating anyone really good. I disagree, because you'd have to beat, if you're winning 8 games, that means that, oh no, they're giving the L's up.
Oh no. James
told him to do that. No. I'm sorry. I can't give L's up to those little kids. Okay, I'll do it.
The
L's up there. Okay, now we're doing L's down. Okay. Yes, we're very nice. Yes.
They're cute.
Bye, kiddos.
Little cutie pies. James was the mastermind behind that evil plan.
Text.
It's a beautiful sight, though.
They're cutie pies.
But if they win 8 games, I mean, you got to beat, if you're winning 8, that means that you have to beat a good team, which would be Ole Miss would constitute a good team. Okay, I see what he's saying. If like Auburn might not be good, I think that's fair. Yeah. Now that I look at it, Auburn might stink too. We don't know. It's Hugh Freeze year two, so that's a good
kind of. I feel like
that's true.
The story of like Stoops's kind of career there. It's like okay, you could reach a certain amount of wins without really beating anybody that good,
right?
Like you know what I'm saying? Like,
but it feels good to look at the record.
Oh, heck, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But it just feel, I feel like it could be misleading at times.
So, no, misleading. Like, yes,
eight wins in the SEC, 10 wins. You know what I'm? But it's
sure,
like, bro. I don't know. Because didn't this come out? And this is what I feel like led up to that pony up comment, because there was some kind of question about it. It's like the teams that you have beat in your career.
It was after Georgia.
You've only beat teams that have like finished above 500 in the SEC
like twice.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's both for Florida.
It's just really, put it in perspective of like, yeah, you're getting traction, but it's like you're still not competing with the big dogs at the biggest level.
Sure.
Like it kind of seemed people wanted to make it appear that way for a while, but it's like you really weren't competing like you thought
they're
you
not comp- and they're not competing with they're not they're not competing with Georgia they're not
the
they're not competing with Alabama.
Sniff was playing Georgia to go to the SEC championship game in like 2018 and it was it looked like JV and varsity.
We did
and that was one of Kentucky's best teams
ever. Yeah, we did a pregame show for that.
That was the game. That was the game. That was the game that I was with my dad where Mitch was like, how drunk are you?
Oh, yes. That was because I wanted you to call him because you're Georgia.
Yes.
Texter, you must not know how bad Auburn is. 8-4. No, I corrected myself. I did, Texter. I corrected
myself.
Was
the Texter very upset with you that you think that Stoops gets more criticism than Cal?
I think in a lot of ways he does, though. I mean, Cal, there's no way that Cal should have this much of a free pass. I mean, I think that it's been ridiculous to think that we have not had that many teams ranked in the top 10 to start the year, and especially knowing what this preseason rankings have been. And the basketball team is way, way underperformed expectations of mine since that 2015 season.
He loves him some Stoops. Mike Gandolfo loves him some Stoops.
That is
he
so
loves Mark Stoops.
Interesting.
Like that is so interesting.
I'm just trying to process it.
Yeah, he loves Marks.
No hate, no shame.
He's one of those people that wants to build the statue.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God, I forgot that wasn't even just a little metaphorical thing.
Oh, no,
really
no.
Wanted a statue built.
Texter, bro, Brock Vandergriff is going to New York for the ceremony. I hope so. I hope you're right. I hope you're
my
all
man.
Right. I hope they're all good. I hope him and his phone clip on his belt. I hope he goes to New York. All right, let's take a break. On the other end, we'll start wrapping up the show. We'll have some fun. Mysterious obelisks appearing in Las Vegas. I do a movie review that I watched last night and more here on the Roundtable. ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Small programming note, and by small, I'm joking. Bob Baffert will join Bobby V at 12:30 today. And so make sure you tune in. That follows us here on 680 1057. You can stay tuned for that. I don't know why Jenny Reese keeps booking horse people for Bob and not us. I have no idea, but whatever. And I mean, I'm sure Bob booked that one. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. So Bobby V after us. I'm kidding, Bob.
You're listening to the Round Table. Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Yeah. We got an extended cut there of Nirvana's Breed, which I'm all good
it.
With.
Yeah, that's why we played
off
that.
Of Never, after Nevermind. Off of Nevermind, sorry. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680-1057, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line. Again, tonight, the College World Series game is not happening, so we're going to go Reds, Pirates at 6:10, okay? Reds, Pirates, 6:10. Louisville, not Louisville, Kentucky. Will play Florida tomorrow at 11 a.m. on ESPN. And if they win, they'll play a doubleheader against Texas A&M later that afternoon or evening. Wednesday, we have Lou City at Pittsburgh Riverhound, 6:45 here on ESPN 680, 105.7. And then Thursday, World Series game, College World Series game, 14, 7 p.m., ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. So some programming updates for you there. 437-9680, EPS Jobs text line. All right, Anne, so I watched a movie last night.
Yes.
Okay. And
Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil. Okay. So it was made in 2023. And it's like an indie film. Okay.
Okay.
And here's the synopsis on IMDb. A live television broadcast in 1977 goes horribly wrong, unleashing evil into the nation's living rooms. Okay.
Ooh.
So I've listened to a bunch of podcasts, like dive deep into the movie and go into all the symbology and everything that surrounds it. And I've got to go back. Listen to Isaac Weishaupt's recap because I put it off because I wanted to watch the movie first because mm-hmm. he usually does like really, really super deep dives.
Right, so it would be a plot.
Exactly. So there's symbology in the year that it was in 1977. There's symbology in that. They mentioned Bohemian Grove. Yes, which is the
place in California
where all the like the movers and shakers and the world. And so the host of the show. So basically, here's what it's about before I get started. Okay, I won't take up too much time because there's another fun topic I want to get to. So basically, the premise of the show is this TV show called Night Owls. It's a late night talk show Ooh. In the vein of like The Night Show, The Late Show, things like that, okay? And the show's hosted by a guy named Jack Del Roy, okay?
Okay.
And he's a big hit, okay? But he can never beat Johnny Carson.
Okay.
His entire thing, like he has this drive to be the best, okay? And beat Johnny Carson. So as his ratings continue to fall and fumble, he's married to like this movie starlet, and she ends up getting cancer and passes away. And one of his, in his height, yeah, it is, it'll all tie in. But I don't want to. The thing is, like, I don't want to give spoilers off for the movie because anyway. So okay, so. So she ends up dying of cancer, and his highest rated show ever was when she came on the show in her late stages of cancer, and she's on oxygen, she's in a wheelchair, and mm-hmm. he's like talking to her and interviewing her, and he got a huge ratings boost out of that, okay? So he decides to kind of go Jerry Springer style to kind of rekindle the show and make it more interesting and do something different from Johnny Carson. So he has all this sensationalism and things on the show, and it's still not happening for him, okay? So he does this show October 31st, 1977, so it's on Halloween night. He has like a psychic on, then he has a skeptic on, then he has this lady named Dr. June. And she's a parapsychologist, and she brings on with her a 13-year-old girl named Lily. And Lily was raised, Lily was raised in a satanic church called the Church of Abraxas. Now, Abraxas is one of these ancient gods from like the Sumerian times. There's these ancient evil gods, okay?
Ooh, so, an evil god.
An evil god, yes, okay. An evil god, evil spirit.
Do they really have churches like that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yes. Okay. Absolutely, yes. So you have Bohemian Grove, you have Church of Abraxas. And so the girl Lily, they got into, so this Church of Abraxas got into this standoff with the FBI, very Branch Davidian style.
Is that where they were fighting against the like Homesteader people?
No, that was different. That was Ruby Ridge.
Okay, yeah.
This was David Koresh. This was in Texas.
Yeah.
They had the compound in Texas. Yes, they said they were making illegal weapons, and they had to stand off with the FBI, and they ended up burning the entire thing down.
Yes.
So this in the movie, the Church of Abraxas gets burnt to the ground. But the only surviving member of the church was Lily, okay? Mm. And this cult.
And she's 13.
And she's 13. And so she has possession issues. And so, yes, so she's possessed, and Dr. June, the parapsychologist, is like her guardian, and she's trying to help her out with it and get her through the possession. So they bring them on to the show and have her do, like, bring out this demon, Abraxas, while on TV. Because the skeptics guy's like, I have a $500,000 check in my pocket. If you can prove to me that any paranormal thing is real, I'll give the $500,000 check. And so they bring her on, and to pardon the pun, all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it's live on TV.
Because don't they say, like, to like for an exorcism, like it has to latch onto something else.
Yes.
When it's coming
out. And you have to invite it in and all these other things.
Yeah.
And so, and it's like, it turns around, and when she's like possessed by a demon, like she looks different. She talks different.
Like,
she turns around. She's like, this is like, this is not a spoiler.
Like
it's a little hint. A little hint of what things going on. She turns around. She's like, he's like, oh, Jack, good to see you again. I remember you from the place of the tall trees. And it, like, the ending is totally wacky.
That just gave me goosebumps.
Crazy.
Scary.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Mm. So I highly recommend it.
Late Night
Again,
with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil.
What's it on?
I was on Amazon.
Okay, there we go. Amazon's been killing it with some good movies.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. I highly recommend it. I'd like as many listeners to watch as possible. I'd like to maybe have Isaac on one day to talk about it.
Yes.
He goes deep into all the symbology and the esotericism that's involved in it. And again, like, as I'm watching it, I'm picking up on stuff. I'm like, oh, this is what this is. That's what that is. That's why they're referencing this. And it's really, really cool.
So have you gone back and listened to Isaac's episode?
No, I'm going to
You're
tonight.
You're going to tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to tonight. I'm going to go back and listen to it.
Oh, I'm just going to blow your mind.
And yeah, get even deeper into the symbology of the
I'm
thing.
I'm going to make my mom watch it with me tonight. She's going to not love it.
It's intense.
Is it?
Like,
where would you rate the scare factor? Like, what's the scariest movie you've ever seen?
That's a great question. The one that disturbed me the most as a kid was The Exorcist. I don't know if it's still the scariest to me now, but I remember watching that and just being like, this is, I don't like possession stuff anyway. So that's what this freaked me out, because it's possession.
Exactly.
And so possession movies always freak me out. I don't know if there's like a movie that just absolutely terrified. I remember seeing The Ring in theaters was scary.
Oh, yeah.
It was good, but it wasn't like, I don't like jumps. Yeah, there we go. I don't like jump scare. Like, I don't like slasher movies. Like, I think they're stupid. Like, Jason and Freddy and stuff. Like, they're just corny.
They're more just
they're
like for
scary.
A fun vibe.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
It's not like a serious
scary.
Vibe.
But, I mean, the Conjuring, the first Conjuring was good. I liked that.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen The Conjuring?
No,
I've got to see The Conjuring.
Too.
Conjuring 1 and Conjuring 2.
Because you know I just watched.
Insidious is really good.
Insidious?
That's scary.
Insidious.
I liked Insidious. Those are probably my top ones.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Those are probably my top ones.
Because I just watched The Exorcist this past year.
Yeah, I remember I told you to watch it.
And it was good, but it didn't, none of it scared me. But I think it's because an older film, you know, they can't.
It's older.
It's how they make it.
Exactly.
Then my sister watched it right around the time I did, and she was terrified of it. And I was shocked. I was like, seriously?
Right.
I don't know. It didn't get me, but
this one's pretty scary.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
I'm watching that.
And it's like one of those found footage movies.
Oh, like Blair Witch style.
Yeah. Well, so basically what it is they find the footage from that entire show, and even like when the cameras were on behind the scenes, so you could see like everything that was going on in the show and like behind the scenes of the show and
so,
everything.
So, like, does it unleash this demon onto like into like people's living rooms? You
You have to find that out.
Okay,
you have to find it out. Yeah.
Okay. You think that's what we do on the radio? We just unleash demons?
I don't think so. I think we do the exact opposite. I think we try to unleash warnings of demons.
Love and light.
Love and light and warnings of demons.
Live, laugh, and love.
Texter, scariest movie, Shazam with Shaq.
You mean Kazam?
You mean Kazam with Sinbad? Texter, Mark, yeah, he goes deep. There you go. Texter, you also do a segment weekly about a show. I think it's a good idea. It's summer radio.
That would be kind of fun.
We need to kind of pick a show and maybe watch it.
Let's do
that. Yeah, I think it would be a lot of fun.
Like a rewatch.
Yeah, like a rewatch or, like, let's see what's out there. Like,
let's
if there's anything
that.
Good.
And then watch it together.
I did watch Baby Reindeer.
Okay, what is that even about? I've heard about it. Isn't it weird? It's kind of dark.
It's one of the most, it's not scary, it's one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen.
In what way?
Every way.
Every way. Okay.
It's just disturbing.
Let me jot that down.
I can't really tell you right now exactly what the, I mean, it's about a comedian that gets a stalker. And it's like really happened to this guy. Like it's like an autobiography.
It's based on a true story.
Yes, the lead character in the show is he's a comedian, and so this really happened to him. And like, there's worse things that happened to him. I don't want to go into it because it's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those things you watch. You're like, I don't want to watch this.
I don't
want to
know. I don't want my innocence.
Oh, there's the kids again.
They're back with some ass.
Yeah. Hey.
Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Tropical Cafe. Yeah. Yay. I hope you enjoyed your Tropical Cafe. Yeah.
All the cute little moms.
But yeah, it's one of those things where
you don't want your innocence to be shaken.
No.
And you don't want to know that's out there.
No.
Yeah.
And it was the end of it, you're just, it's very heavy to watch.
You just want
to
just.
Yeah. But it's one of those things that you started watching and I couldn't stop watching because I wanted to know.
Why is it called Baby Reindeer?
Because that's one of her pet names for him, which she calls him Baby Reindeer. And there's a whole explanation behind why she calls him Baby Reindeer. It goes back to her childhood.
I'm freaked out already.
It's messed up. No, it's messed
That's
up.
That's scary.
Yeah. I almost stopped watching it.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I could make it through that.
I almost stopped. There's one episode. I'm not going to say what, but there's one episode where I was like, okay, this is too much. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Oh, gosh. Now I kind of do want to watch it.
Yeah. It's,
okay, I'm writing that one down, too.
I don't know if when it's over, I was like, I don't know if I like this or not.
Yeah. Well, no. It's like watching, like, when you're on Twitter now and the videos just autoplay. One time I was on there and I saw a guy getting eaten by a shark.
It's terrible. I know. I hate it.
I needed to go to therapy for watching and hearing yeah. this guy get eaten by a shark. And that's what this sounds like. Afterwards, yeah. It's like, you couldn't turn away, but you're like, why is my soul burdened with knowing this now?
Yeah. I just
humans aren't meant to know or see this.
It was bad. Texas Strebel is the Busch Light shirt lightweight and comfortable, going to Gulf Shores in a few weeks and need that shirt. Yeah, it is lightweight and comfortable. It is. It's very lightweight.
I would recommend everyone get that shirt.
Yeah.
Actually a very pretty shirt.
Yeah. No, it really is. It's a nice shirt.
It's good color.
It really is.
It's like a pretty shirt.
It's a nice shirt. It's not, yeah, exactly. It's not loud. It's a very good shirt.
It's pleasant.
Texture Strebel downplaying the problem by saying the girl has possession issues. She has more than possession issues. You gotta watch the show. Texture. There it is, Kazam by Shaq. There he is. It's Shaq Kazam.
Now, wait. Who's really in it? Shaq.
Shaq is really... He's in Kazam.
Right.
They say there's a movie called Shazam with Sinbad. Yes, because Shaq was a genie in Kazam. They're saying there's a movie where Sinbad's a genie called Shazam.
Okay.
Texter says, baby reader is disturbing. And I'm not reading the rest of it. Texter, Smile was a really good modern horror movie. I've heard that's good.
Smile?
That and The Black Phone. I've heard The Black Phone's good, too. I want to watch it. It has Ethan Hawke in it.
Oh, I like Ethan Hawke.
Texter, Criminal Minds Evolution. Need to do that one. It's really good. Okay, I like Criminal Minds. Texter, send me the link to that shirt. I don't know if my wife got it from the
Duluth
Company store downtown Louisville. She bought it at the brick and mortar store. So if you're out there, you want this shirt, it's Duluth Company downtown Louisville. Check it out. Okay, that's where my wife got it for me for Father's Day. Texter, the scariest movie I ever saw was The Wiz. How does a person being flushed down the toilet not scare you? Along with Richard Pryor and Michael Jackson as the Wizard of Oz and the Scarecrow.
I need to rewatch that movie. Wiz. I haven't seen it since childhood.
I'm writing that down too. Same here. I've not seen that movie since I was like 5 years old.
I like, couldn't sleep the other night, and I don't know what possessed me, but for some reason I just started watching the Michael Jackson documentary This Is It. Like, it was 3:30 a.m. and I couldn't sleep, and I've never seen it.
He had some movies in the 80s that were just straight weird. Up weird. You ever see Moonwalker?
No.
That's a weird movie. It's when it released Bad. It was like he's fighting against Joe Pesci's leading like this fascist army.
Yeah. Sounds a little bit like Home Alone.
It's really weird. I remember watching as a kid like, this is so cool. And then I remember like as an adult, I think about that movie wasn't cool at all. It was weird.
Nothing was cool about that.
Captain EO, Captain Nemo or something. He had like some Disney ride
that
he was like a space captain. Yeah.
What?
Michael Jackson did everything.
Yeah.
Like he did everything.
He's all around.
Yeah. Texture just joining, but Mindhunters on Netflix is amazing. Yeah, Mindhunters is really good. And it really pisses me off that they haven't renewed it for a third season.
Boo.
That's about the start of like criminal profiling with serial killers.
Okay.
It's really good.
Okay.
Mindhunters.
I think I've heard of that.
Awesome. Texture, Spy Kids scared me. Those thumb things gave me nightmares.
Melting thumbs.
Yeah.
Do you ever like watch movies? Like I'm sure you've seen movies. There's always like people are eating a food in a movie and you've always wanted to try it.
Yeah.
And Spy Kids, they just have this like feast scene where they're eating this green soup and I've always wanted to try it.
Oh.
Also, anybody with a an Apple Watch and they talk into it, I always feel like they're on Spy Kids.
They're on Spy Kids. See, that was for me, it was in the, have you ever seen Hook?
Yes.
When they have like they're at the they're all having the feast or whatever, and like all the food that disappears, they have to imagine the food.
Oh yeah,
I want to eat all that food.
I know.
It's just like they're eating pudding.
I know.
It's just like they're just eating pudding. Like
anything that probably would not be appetizing if it was presented in front of you, but for some reason, in that movie.
Texture Smiles also had an ad campaign where they placed creepy women behind the catcher at baseball games. Oh, I remember that. Yes, I do remember that. Yes, they were putting these creepy looking ladies behind the catchers at baseball games when they were doing the promoting the movie. All right, last weird thing before we get out of here. All right, so a mysterious Las Vegas monolith appears in desert. There's a shiny reflective monolith found in the desert near Gas Peak, north of Las Vegas. Okay, it says here a mysterious monolith has appeared in a desert north of Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department says the shiny reflective structure, similar to the one found in Utah years ago, was spotted by its search and rescue unit near Gas Peak over the weekend. Quote, we see a lot of weird things when people go hiking, like not being prepared for the weather, not bringing enough water, but check this out, police wrote on X alongside an image of the monolith. The discovery comes months after a hiker in Wales captured a video of mysterious UFO-like monolith on top of a hillside along the country's border with England. Craig Muir recorded footage showing the shiny object in March while hiking Hay Bluff near Hay on Wye, according to Storyville. I come up here most days. I've never seen this before, Muir said in the video, adding, it almost looks like a UFO. Similar monoliths have been found in Belgium, Romania, the Isle of Wight, that's an island north in the English Channel. In November 2020, one of the monoliths, estimated between 10 and 12 feet high, was found by Utah State Wildlife employees who were counting sheep from a helicopter. Okay, so they don't know what the origins. It says it's unclear who's behind the placement of the monoliths. A New Mexico artist collective claimed responsibility years ago. So we don't know who did the newest one in Las Vegas. So just these things pop up.
Right.
Do you know where the monolith came from?
Uh-uh.
Have you ever seen 2001 A Space Odyssey?
No.
Okay, it's a Stanley Kubrick movie. If you watch it, just forewarning, it's really slow.
Doesn't it have a good theme song?
It's got, yeah, I said the
a good score.
Yeah, that's it. So the monolith in the movie, basically at the very opening scene of the movie, you see ancient human,
like Stonehenge.
They're like prehumans, Australopithecus.
I don't know what that means.
So it's like when humans.
You're talking about the guy who murdered his girlfriend.
No.
Oscar Pistorius. It's like it's,
Oscar Pistorius. No, Australopithecus. It's okay when there's a name for them, and I can't think of it. It's escaping my brain right now, and I hate when that happens. But anyway, but basically what we evolved from. It's like kind of a human.
We don't have one like human, Molly or something.
Lucy was a Australopithecus. Okay. Yes. It's like Australopithecus. So it's like human, monkey, kind of like in the stage
like
of evolution.
The missing link.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so they're very primitive, and they're basically going. They're feuding with a neighboring monkey community or a prehuman Australopithecus community.
Okay,
and so they're kind of like losing the battle, and
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and so they go to sleep and they wake up one morning, and this big monolith is just there, and it's like has this weird music around it, and the eight human hybrids are kind of like losing their minds and kind of like kind of going crazy
in a bad way.
They're like transfixed by this thing.
Okay.
And so one of them picks up a bone and it starts like smacking stuff on the ground. It realizes that it crushes other bones.
A tool.
Bingo. And so when this neighboring community comes over next time, they use weapons to kill them. So the idea behind it is that some type of alien artificial intelligence
was behind the monolith and evolved
from just being, you know, like apes,
right,
in the desert, to like thinking beings that could use and manipulate their environment, like with tools and weapons.
Isn't
and
that
things.
Like the mainstay of like how you know a humanity evolved? Humans use tools. Like
yes,
other
but there's primates. The other primates use tools too. Like gorillas use tools. Chimpanzees use tools. Orangutans use tools.
Yeah,
a lot of your bonobos, baboons. They use tools. Even like a crow or a raven will use tools.
Exactly.
I mean, other animals use tools.
But like, don't they try to say that?
They try
like
to say
humans,
that. Yes.
But it's like okay, because I've always I'm like even my dog will try to like use a
other
tool.
Animals every, use tools.
Trying to use a hammer.
Exactly.
A chainsaw.
So that's one of the things.
Honey, put it down.
So later on, like human, it goes straight from that to where we're like building space stations and flying around and stuff.
Okay.
And then they find another monolith on the moon, on the dark side of the moon. Yes, and then they're on a mission trip to Jupiter.
Okay,
actually, yes, Jupiter in the movie. It's Jupiter in the book. It's Saturn in the movie. And Saturn has more symbology than Jupiter, but it's a whole other thing.
Devilish,
yeah,
symbology.
Exactly. And so they're going to try to find this other obelisk, and so they're on, but their entire spaceship is controlled by AI, an AI system named HAL. And
in this movie?
Yeah, in this movie. And the AI spaceship, yeah, this was made a year before the moon landing actually happened. That's why I think Stanley Kubrick actually faked and filmed the moon landing, because he did 2001 A Space Odyssey. The AI computer in the ship ends up turning on the humans. There's only two astronauts on the ship, and he kills one of them, tries to kill the other one. Anyway, he ends up defeating HAL, and like he finds the obelisk in space and goes into like a wormhole. It goes into like the alien society. They're like viewing him like an animal. It's wild. Then he gets reborn as a star child, and it's a whole thing.
I'm so scared.
Watch 2001 in Space. I tell you.
And I love that we're like, AI, what a novel, good idea.
You might fall asleep, but once, like, the opening scene and then the stuff with HAL and then the journey into the wormhole are amazing.
Does Isaac do an episode on this?
I'm sure he does. Okay. He's really big on Stanley Kubrick. He does we only have like 30 seconds.
Let us stay.
Eyes Wide Shut, Clockwork Orange. Yeah, Clockwork Orange, all that stuff. All right, we got the Reds coming up, or we'd say longer. Reds, Pirates, and we'll be back tomorrow. We kind of did an impromptu Weird Wednesday, but we'll do a real Weird Wednesday tomorrow. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7.